Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements with black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale, bro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black gone, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale, bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Why haven't you learned anything?
Man, our school shit is a joke. The same people who control the school system control the prison system and the whole social system ever since slavery.
Some redneck crackers. Right around the time third base dropped the Cactus album, but I was reading Malcolm. I changed my name in 89, cleaning parts of my brain like a baby nine. I took a history class serious, front row, every day of the week, third period, fucking with the teacher's head, calling the racist. I tried to show them crackers some light, they couldn't face it. I got my diploma from a school called Rickers, full of teenage mothers and drug dealing niggas in the hallways. The popo was always present, searching through niggas' possessions, looking for dope and weapons, get your lessons. That's what my mom kept stressing. I tried to pay attention, but their classes weren't interesting. They seemed to only glorify the Europeans, claiming Africans was only 3/5 of human beings.
They fools can't teach us shit. My people need freedom. We trying to get all we could get. All my high school teachers.
just could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit.
That brainwash camp, they make you think if you drop out, you ain't got a chance to advance in life. They try to make you pull your pants up. Students fight the teachers and get took away in handcuffs. And if that wasn't enough, then they expel you. All your people's understanding, but to them, you a failure. Observation and participation, my favorite teachers. When they beat us in the head with them books, it don't reach us. Whether you break dance or rock suede Adidas or be in the bathroom with your clique, smoking reefer, then you know they mad class. Ain't important unless you add enough cash and multiple. Unemployment ain't rewarding, they may as well teach us extortion. You either get paid or locked up, the principal is like a warden in a 4-year sentence. Mad niggas never finish, but that doesn't mean I couldn't be a doctor or a dentist.
They fools can't teach us shit, my people need freedom. We trying to get all we can get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit. They fools can't teach us shit, my people need freedom. We trying to get all we can get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit. Bullshit.
That note, I'm about to drop in the fuel. Think if I call it the grand, the people gon' call it the truth.
That is bound to shape the future.
I got a letter from the government. The other day, I opened and read it. They telling me to dead it. It said that the message I was bringing brought destruction. I put the pants in the bag and said, fuck them. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me from the jump. They'd rather see me slumped, face down, shot 5 or 6 times with my kid and a mama in the cop car brown. And I'm done. Stop lying. It's a black and white thing. Redneck ass judge would rather watch a nigga hang than indict what's white, not right. Fuck a newsfeed. Black man got the same needs as the Jews need. Who me? I demand reparation. Fuck a cowboy. I'm a native robbed of my nation. I'm an African. Black man. Fucked out my language. Got me praying to a white boy God. That's insane. And if you ask me why they steadily harass me, I reply with that these motherfuckers nasty. And I'm a god, yet they calling me a nigga. They scared of me, so they try to hide behind the trigger, acting badass. Fuck a honky with the badge. I'm a nigga with an attitude. You can kiss my black ass. Ain't no sense in niggas being diplomatic. Televise the revolution. Let these motherfuckers have it. I'm calling up the homies. They said to come through. And I run with the niggas. They scared to come shoot. Take an eye for an eye. Take a tooth for tooth. Do unto others as them others would do all to you. And now they say it make America great. What America hates kept America straight and America safe. Motherfuck that flag. My people are not free. We wanna touch that flag. So quick to try to copyright what came for free. Now they blaming me. And it's plain to see that they mad at that. Like I'm a magic act. Yeah, imagine that. Motherfucker, I'm black fucking vultures. Super quick to steal one's culture. Trying to make it your own. Caveman, go home. Over 10 long nose, funny looking ass Donald. Got his nerve disrespecting President Obama. If you don't want us around, then let us leave. Pay the money you've been owing my people since they were set free. That 40 acres and a mule never came, but yet we're still outstanding. Outstanding in the rain, just waiting. Patient, pacing, and praying for God to step up. But nah, it ain't shit shaking. I was mistaken, thinking scripture could have helped us. Following the faith of our very own oppressors. No justice, just us. Look at how the aftermath of slavery today still affects us. Our kids educated by the enemy. And they don't know shit about their history. Cause they ain't teaching that in school. Leave it up to them coons. And all that's cool. Let the bygones be bygones. And besides, we've been killing off our homes. Shut the fuck up, you know what? Uncle Tom, house niggas, slaves, see they motherfucking nuts cut. I pack steel in the hour of the chaos. If black lives still don't matter till you stay out.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages. America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Black power, black power, black power. You are listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. Coming to you live here in the belly of the beast in America, KKK, on this day, that the nation and the world is honoring the Dr. Martin Luther King. We played a clip to you tonight. That clip that you just played was one of the last speeches of Dr. King, one of the last speeches that many say helped him to be the target of assassination. This speech, the Why Oppose the War in Vietnam speech, America wrote a blank check, I integrated you into a burning building. All of those last speeches of Dr. King showed that he had evolved after hanging out with the likes of Kwame Ture, Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad. The man evolved. This is something that if you went to school, they only taught us about the image of a man of passiveness, of integration. But we have to really look at and listen and study and not let what the enemy tried to teach us be what we know. We have to study our own kind. Individually evolve. And if your evolvement isn't in an upgraded manner to where you are becoming a warrior for your people, if your evolution is that of a metamorphosis where you're becoming a cool or enemy to your people, then you are on the side of the enemy and will remain so throughout history. But we have to really think. I want to think. I want to speak on this. How many people were targets of assassination actually assassinated by the United States government? If a person was truly working in the best interest of the government, they would still be around today, i.e. Jesse, Messy Jesse. We can go down the list of these individuals who got these half-baked, sellout, coon-ass energies. You got individuals trying to walk around here in the Black Panther uniform, but all the while they compromised in attacking the real revolutionaries, folding under pressure. Want to be walking around doing an integrated demonstration line with the guns, with the crackers, all kind of weird shit people doing. Want to sit in the cracker's house. Oh, I'm in the seat now. In our conditions of our people. Or to a level, but we don't have time to play. So I wanted to just say that little piece, but tonight's show, brothers and sisters, is hosted by a national spokesman. I know y'all been waiting to hear from him. We have a national spokesman of the New Black Panther Party, Brother Malik Mau-Mau. And tonight's token he chose is hirelings. Tokens and tears of plague people. Pretty deep. Hirelings. Tokens and tears of plague people. Black power, my mom.
Black power,
brother. Can you hear me, Mike? Check.
Black power.
Very
black
deep
power.
Subject matter here. Black power, deep subject matter here.
Black power.
Was on your heart, brother. Black power. I'm passing the mic to you, brother. But something had to be heavy on your heart to come up with this title.
Salute. Greetings, blessings, and black power. Black power, dear tell woman. Man, you so spiritual, yes, indeed. you're so spiritual. Black power, black nation. My spiritual, beautiful black people. Black power.
Black power.
The thoughts that we are inspiring is hiring token plagued people. Hiring tokens and tears. Listening to the introduction of the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King, listening to the energy that he actually was giving, that put me almost in the bosoms of the Honorable Dr. Collins. See, the energy See, that wasn't no Tom energy. That was black power. Black power.
Black power.
Now, see, this is not who they have taught you about. As we have always recommend that you understand that, if the people was not going to treat us right, they wasn't going to teach us right. Now, before I actually delve and dab and just go into the highlights, I want to just take a moment and go into the some paper. You know, I like to go into some scrolls. It could be the Gilgamesh paper, no matter what it is, but I like to go into some scrolls, you know, just a tap, just a tap. And I particularly had wanted to go into the some papers, and I wanted to tap just for a second because these are our ancestors, which are inscribed. We know the difference, okay? And it's never about what happened or not. It's what you can learn from a story. So an illustration, I want to go into the sun paper, and I want to read a couple of verses. I want to break down those verses with my people because it's imperative that we understand what is manifested. Because everything isn't always put before you in a layman term. Sometimes we have to speak, and we also have to understand the language that is being spoken. The verses I'm going to travel to, we're going to go to John 10. We're going to get to some deep, but it's important, as I say, that we understand. So I want to make sure we're on the same level. Like the Honorable Doctor mentioned, he said he wanted to get the language right. You know, he said, don't let them play with your manhood. He said, somewhere somebody told a lie. And that lie was to create a distortion toward black power. He said, but he wanted you to know and be reassured. He said, no emancipation proclamation can do this for us. This is what he was saying. So don't sit up here today and yah-yah the emancipation proclamation to me and MLK to me when he said, just like we tell many of our brothers and sisters and brethren in the Christian denomination, don't tell us about this, that, and the other when the book says this and that. So we go off of the facts, and we're going to lay it down by the book because we heard what he said. He ain't no emancipation proclamation can do this for us. Ain't no bill of affirmation. If the bills before him that was as well as the bills he had passed, he was also suggesting, don't let none of these bills can't even do this for us. Emancipation proclamation can't do this for us. Affirmative action cannot do this for us, in which they took back from you anyway. They came back and took that from you. And many of us don't know this. So it's a reason why I want to tap into this book and this chapter and these verses. So that what's understood won't have to be explained. In John 10, chapter 10, this is what allegedly Emmanuel, Joshua, Yahshua, Yahshua, Esau, this is what he's saying, allegedly. We're going according to, you have an international King James, it don't matter which one you get, they're all copyright infringed and plagiarized. So they're pretty much in general with the line with each other. But it goes, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door to the sheepfold. See, we're talking about the subject matter that we're talking about particular is the directive object is the sheepfold. Let's remember that. okay? The sheepfold is the object of the whole thing when it comes down to it, because that's the family. That's what you protect for. That's what you work for, and that's what you strive in order to secure. Okay, so but we're going into the sheepfold. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth unto any other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The same as a thief and a robber. Okay. Verse 2. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Remember, we're going to be dealing with the sheepfold and the sheep. That's the object. It says, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. It says in 3, to him, told the porter, open, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Remember, anybody that come into the sheepfold by any other way except by the door is as the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd, and to he who is the shepherd that goes in through the door, the portal is open. He who goes through the door or go by way of the door, the portal is open. Meaning it's many sheep within this pen, but he particularly called his individual sheep from within crowds and pulled his people from among various pens of crowds, of pastors, of sheepfold. It says, to him the portal opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calleth his sheep, his own sheep by name, and leads them out. 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follows him, for they know his voice. Knowing the truth, showing and proving. 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. So this is going to cause disarray. This is why you find so many mosques, temples, study groups, churches. This is why you find so many people religiously delegating their lives and savings to building an organized function, searching for something that they know have not yet have appeared. Not even the truth of the word have appeared to them. They ain't heard nobody from behind one of the pits tell them the truth. And that's why so many stray away. Because everything and all of them become strange to us. It says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Oh man, he's a pimp in a pool play. Look how he ride. Look how he ain't nobody making no tenfold truth. They don't even go into how the initiation of text even begins with the blessing of Abraham and Melchizedek, and for the simple fact that the people of the Hebrew clan consistently always ran out of stock and product and ended up in somebody's captivity for the simple fact that they never put up anything or saved anything. Until Moses and later on in Pharaoh's Rome. this was the problem. This is how they got, eventually we was brought into Egypt, or they was taken into Egypt during the time of Joseph, due to the fact that they was famine and they didn't have nothing stored up in the storehouses. Parable spake Jesus. Jesus spoke unto them, but they understood not the things in which he spoke to them. What was complicated for them to understand about when whoever comes through the door is the shepherd. If you come in through any other way, they're a thief and a robber. Not saying you can't get in amongst the people or the sheep and steal the sheep. You see what I'm saying? But the sheep going to be in disarray because most of them ain't really there. But you see, the true sheep that's looking for the true voice, that know the truth when they hear the truth, they going to keep running around the pen trying to get away. They're going to be running farther away from it because they know it ain't the truth. You will have a church on every corner and a liquor store on every other corner, and the liquor store is going to be more profitable. They're not taking the resources. Give me your tent. Give me your tithe. And what we going to do, we got a kid like to play in the dirt. We got a couple of deacons that's farmers. We're going to get him to invest in agriculture, and we're going to buy land, and we're going to create produce, and we're going to do this and do that and invest and expect them to take that education and keep putting their money into their education in college in hopes in turn that they come back and bless us with the resources and the knowledge to expand. We take another one, they like to count money and put them in the business, and we try to invest and create banks and resources of some of that nature to create houses and do something more. We got a carpenter, one like to build with blocks, and then we got deacon here. Let's put him with him and teach him that, get him to go to college and invest in them, and get them to come back and invest that back. And then you talk about where you tip at. we paid through your high school. We paid through everything. And just because you up there in New York don't mean you ain't got to send that little bread back down, you know. Just because you in England or on the mother continent don't mean you ain't got to send that little bread over here, because we still got other kids that we got to invest in. But now you ain't investing. If I'm riding a 2024 and 2021 Mercedes-Benz, and every time I give you one passage out the scripture, I go right into giving you a scenario of throwing spiritual bullets at everybody in the pulpit and making people feel guilty about where they robbed God and not put money in the pulpit. And then I got another offering, but ain't none of these offerings going investing into the people. This is why I was initiated. People can't even pay their bills. And on. Number 7. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So now we got that. Now Jesus is saying, I am the door. But remember, he said whoever comes through him or whoever comes through the door, the portal is open to them to go in and collect the sheep. And you can get your sheep. But through in righteousness. Remember, the Prince of Righteousness. The Prince of all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them, because we didn't heard it all before until the truth is appeared. We hear everything already. And then we realize how the scripture tells us in certain verses how we shouldn't celebrate Christmas in the direct parables or direct factual principles of what culture was being practiced, and giving explicit descriptions on what it was and how it was. And yet we still do. So he says, I am the door, which is the portal. It says, by me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, when you go find pasture, what you find? That's where your sheep is. Because remember, it says, but he who enters in by the door. He said, I am the door. And he said, he who enters in by the door is the shepherd. But if you get in any other way, back door, see, they're using different documents and different documents, and they're using it to woo and they wow the people. They're coming in as a thief and a robber. Because when a thief come in, he's coming in to get. He's coming to get. Not saying that he won't get, because that's what he's coming in for, to get. But when you got good little puppies or things of that nature, and somebody trying to steal them, and they fight, they'll run if they can run. So your sheep is running around the pasture from the strange wolves. And sin. And now and again, they say, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And come not that they might have life, but that they might have it more abundantly. Now remember, the first thing he told them, they didn't understand it, but mostly what he's telling them is they're already in parable. So yeah, if he's saying if you can come in, you got to go in through the door and the portal will be open to you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just like the cataclysms between him and Nicodemus. And he said, I am good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And it says, but he that is an hireling. It says, but he that is a hireling. You see, when the shepherd goes out, he leads his sheep. He goes out and his sheep follow. Because he's willing to put his life down for the sheep who go in through the proper channel. Those who have paid the proper dues. Whoever go in through the door is the shepherd. Even though he said, I am the door and the way. At this time, in which that time, he was explaining a certain principle of giving gain to them, in which they didn't get it. Because it was like, it's not the MBPP dot Save America. It's not the MBPP commercial. Come. It's the MBPP.org. O-R-G. And he says, I am the good shepherd. See, he just said he was one of the shepherds. Because many shepherds come in through the door called their sheep. But there are some who come in and steal sheep. There are some who come in and steal sheep. And those are the ones who do not come in by the proper channels to the door to which the portal has been opened. They're sheep by name. And as he also mentioned, those who do the proper work with the proper propaganda, my name is not against me, but for. See, we're always a network. It's a safe house, a pen of good shepherds that bring forth their sheep and store them in good favor with righteous men and women. But sometimes there's some that come in by other means without the proper path. And steal sheep. Okay, and he was explaining to a people no more the same as he explained to them the principle of being God in Psalm 82, in which we've discussed about how when they got ready to stone him for saying him and God was one, or I and the Father are one. You know what I'm saying? And they say, let's get him. And he said, don't cast stone without sin, or the first one without sin, whoever without sin, you don't cast the first stone. Or hasn't it also been written in your law that, you know what I'm saying, that ye are God? When he gave them the same verse in Psalm 82, only representing the principle. He was the 5%, the woke, the wise, the conscious of his time, giving game to the 85% who was up under the colonized rule of the European Roman Empire. Okay. And he was dealing with a lot of hirelings. The Pharisees and Sadducees were hirelings. They was willing to pay the tax. And it goes, at 10, it said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they may have life. So in Psalm, the thief comes to steal and kill and ultimately destroy the proper foundation. Cares nothing for the sheep, nor their safety. But the shepherds, we, the shepherds, the gods, God judges amongst the gods. We ask, how long shall we partake or put up with the partialities of the wicked? How long shall we sit back and do nothing while everything, as even Martin Luther King and many others has quoted and say, is not where you stand in a time of comfort, but where you stand in a time of trial. So that we may have a better life and more of it. He say, Martin went off into talking about little pieces as far as the radical redistribution. See, you got to see. Like, remember how we talked about the power to define? See, I'm not gonna doubt that it's not angels, but if I'm gonna say as an angel, I'm gonna approach it the way the book told me to approach it, and the book told me to approach it in a way to where you never know when you're dealing with an angel. Be careful when dealing with strangers. Just be careful. Trust nobody. Just be open to everything. They say, just be careful, mindful and mighty with all people, respectful to everyone, even the devil. You can be respectful to the devil. Yeah, give the devil their respect. Give them the respect of a devil. Give them that type of trust and love. Trust him and love him as you would love a devil. Love your enemy, but love them like an enemy. As you would love your pet like a pet, you would love your dog as a dog, which is a different type of love than you loving your children. But nonetheless, do not carry hate in your heart. Do not be hateful. Be wise in what we do. But he said a radical redistribution of politics, wealth, and economics. He says a radical. And remember all that he's saying even Emancipation Proclamation ain't going to be able to help us do that. No matter what you wrote on that paper, it can't help us. Ain't no bill that has been passed going to be passed going to help us do that. He explained what's going or what can or what you should only be looking for in general into helping you obtain that which you, Pharaoh is not going to be able to help the children of Israel, children of Hebrews, obtain this. You see. And it goes on. Just a few more. I just want to touch on a few more. And it says 11 again. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, someone that is hired. And in the scriptures, is different than you may look today as an employer, an employee. It's different in reference to scripture times using the word hireling. Because at this time in scripture, most hirelings as reference and context was more or less of a merciless, a mercenary type hiring. It was more or less like, whatever I really need you to do. And you got to be pretty like a regulator. You got to be kind of handy like Peter. You got to be kind of handy with a sword on top. Because I really can't do nothing else with you. That got to be almost automatic. You automatically got to come sword red handy. It says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, who own the sheep, or not see it, the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. So it says the hireling, who is not the shepherd, who own the sheep. The hireling, who ain't the shepherd that owns the sheep. He's just a hireling. He see the wolf coming, and he leave the sheep and flee. And the wolf catching the sheep. Now, we talking about the sheepfold. Remember, it started off, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. So we talk, the subject is the sheepfold. And we're talking about those who coming into the sheepfold or climbing into the sheepfold. And remember, we're talking about shepherds going into the sheepfold, calling out their sheep. As mentioned in 2, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd. Remember? Okay. We're talking about going through a door. He said he is the door. And it's 2, we're talking about entering through a portal and being the shepherds and calling out the sheep as we go on, who answer by their name because they know their shepherd. And there's hireling. And that's what we're dealing with, the hireling. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And they know me. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. As they say in many settings, bless the hearing and the reading and the inspiration of the truth, wherever we may find it. Black power. Now, in this inscription, coming from the Sun Papers of John 10, we were dealing with the principles of what appears at the time Jesus was giving a session explaining to people about how some enters into the sheepfold by other means other than the door which the porter has been opened to him. And he also mentioned hiring. So if there the sheep is the people, and as in Psalms 82, it tells us God judges amongst the gods, and many are called to act in accordance and in representation, such as the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King, in which today is his day. And being such a fan of the Sun Papers himself, I felt compelled to pretty much dibble and dab into that. And I believe in such a great way, Sister Queen Chill, she kind of felt the energy from the inspired title of Howling Tears. Remember in the scriptures how they talk about the howling. See, we year after year after year, you see what I'm saying? See how much remembrance of that was brought to pass in just a short few minutes of listening to some of the inserts from the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King. He talked about a radical redistribution of politics and economics. We know he talked about going to get a check. He not only talked about it, he broke it down to explain how we was already owed a check and how they couldn't even justify not having the resources to deal with many of the issues that we were facing currently today. The main question was, would they have the will? These were questions that he literally was inspired to question the great authorities that be during the time. Even such time as when the very entities were plotting his assassination as they had plotted many assassinations prior to his and after his and currently today with no real retribution in sight. He talked about getting a check. He talked about how they even carved up so much money and gave away so much land to farmers, even created land grant opportunities to give land to certain Europeans who didn't even have a dime to pick or a pot to pee in and a window to pour it out of. But give them the education and give them very, 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 very low interest rates on it all. He explained how they was able to do that at such a million-dollar rate. Not only that, he went into the Vietnam situation, which ultimately crossed the line. When we deal with the history of the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King, we deal with the association and the adjacent assassination of the Honorable Malcolm, as we know, Malcolm X, Malik El Haj Shabazz. It's adjacent due to the fact that we know how the devil works. We know how he operates. We in 2020 have had the opportunity, and if we have not done so, we should have or should be doing so immediately, looking up COINTELPRO, understanding COINTELPRO, how it works, why it was orchestrated, who it was orchestrated for, and why and how it is working today. All right? So the assassination of Martin Luther King was not done by a lone individual, nor two or a small, mediocre, anti-black, anti-black Semitic or pro-white organization. It was strictly committed by the hands and orchestrated through the works of the United States government. It was orchestrated by the same government that created the black codes after the so-called Emancipation Proclamation, when they gave you one thing, and then it really was a hoax and a trick and a twix to a whole bunch of other things, some more shit. So they twisted it all up, and then they came back and gave you black codes. You thought they was giving you free, but they was giving you the black hole. They wasn't giving you nothing. They was giving you a void space to make you a liability to where they could tax you and crime you for being a tax. Throw you in prison for being black. Now, you know, these are the facts. You didn't hear no tiptoeing Martin Luther King speaking. What you heard in 1963 in the prime of Martin Luther King's Nobel Peace Prize, what you got in the background was a whole bunch of Europeans juicing him up. What you got was a stigmatism that was plagued in the black community, whether you was violent or nonviolent, whether you was doing it the right way or whether you was going to hell and God was going to punish you for dealing with them, or you was going to get killed, or you was going to jail for messing with them white folks. Martin Luther King said, don't let nobody play with your manhood. Black man, you have a lot of tokenism portrayal in what is black history and black recognition in the hells of the United Snakes of America. You cannot be, why every year the centerpiece of every conversation of blackism is based around Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks. Something that made recognition that you would rather promote too hard to discourage everything that we put out ourselves. So you make it convenient. You start feeding it to us just like you fed the stories of Noah and the flood to us. You knew about it before you can read, and now that you can read, you won't even go back and reevaluate the scriptures. You know what happened. Your grandmama and them told you what happened with Noah and them back in the flood. In France, when Moses was over there feeding the Ethiopians in England, and the flood came, because you're not reading it, it might as well be law. Because if you read it, you can see the confusion of their mind state at that time and of this time with the re-edited and the revised. So some of the lies cannot be discarded without taking the whole story out the book. MLK said he wanted to get the story right. He told a lie. And the lie was a black lie. The lie was everything that was black was bad. Everything that was black was trash. Everything that was black was no good. It was foul and disgusting and low down. It was it was the lowest of the lowest. And that was the lie. The lie was, anytime somebody starts talking about that black stuff and you get scared, you are a victim of the lie that Martin Luther King has been talking about that we just heard tonight when he said somebody said told a lie. He said, the Emancipation Proclamation can't get us back to you, your black self. You see, we already dialogued on how the children of Israel was free according to the Sun Papers, if we want to use the Sun Papers, when God allegedly freed, or Yahweh allegedly freed, or Jehovah allegedly freed the children of Israel. It was a formula in which it was done. They couldn't be free and still be in America. They couldn't be free and still be in Egypt under Pharaoh, because they still would have been subject to Pharaoh currency. They still would have been subject to Pharaoh taxes. They still would have been subject to all the stigmas of Pharaoh and Egypt. If Pharaoh wanted to make pornography cartoonish for children to watch and become a sodomistic society, they would have had be subject to that. They couldn't be like a lot and try to get away from. They would have been subject to it. So in order for them to be free, we're talking about emancipated, we're talking about the same type of freedom that was echoing in the voices and the chambers of the throat of Martin when he was trying to get the people that was in a sheep-like state to understand the great awakening that black people must undertake in order to obtain the true salvation that Jesus or any other spiritual idea could give you, regardless it had to take place within your own black self. You couldn't do it with a white Jesus. If it was going to be Jesus, you had to rediscover and redefine and get the language right. You had to come up with what would be considered the power to define. Stop looking at the Greek in your neighborhood or your community, black power, because a young black man or old black man or some black woman or some black child or anything that almost looked black, act black, think black, was murdered in the streets by someone that apparently don't like black. And you close your doors and you tremble because the Europeans in your community have created a stigma generations before you was even created that you have fell victim to, which is called fear. Like Martin say, don't let nobody play with your manhood. When they murdered Malcolm X in 1963, it was a plan to stroke the egos of the country. It was to promote the nonviolent and the violent in the process of them murdering and attacking the young members of the Black Panther Party and other black organizations, primarily the idea of a black messiah. You had the operations of the CIA as well as the FBI, all corners of, if the NSA was available back then under a secret organizational name, then they was even in operation on it too. The rise and the promotion of a black messiah. Someone or some idea that may rise up from a distorted, destroyed people and bring them to an apex existence of themselves, bring them and rise them to a higher frequency of morality and dignity. The United States of America had sat out of all post-bulletin to destroy and distort at all costs. Even if it would have been your sweet Jesus himself. Even if Jesus would have had the audacity to resurrect the second coming in black skin, in the hell of America amongst some of the most afflicted people on the planet, they would have unleashed all hell on your Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind. This is how wicked and diabolical of a nation we have lived in. Listen, maybe it wasn't for them to understand at the time, but they knew, felt, and had hitches. And many of that is what transpired from some of our elders and love and support and salutation to our ancestors, those who have caused these entities to work against our people in such a way because of such a great directional aim they had for our people and for being such great shepherds, a good shepherd, coming into the portals the proper way, putting in the work for the people. It's a known fact. It's proven fact who murdered Martin Luther King. They murdered Malcolm X in 1963. Prior to murdering Malcolm X in 63, of course, there was world revolutions taking place, but he was the Joshua of Nazareth in the eyesight of black nationalism for America in the 1960s. He was the single greatest threat. For one, he was a shepherd, no doubt about it. He was taught by one of the baddest black men in America that is still inspiring black men in America. And around the world. Malcolm was murdered in the process of promoting the violent, nonviolent, while juicing up the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King for doing such a good job on his Christian base philosophy and ideals of Gandhi, which showed such lack of in-depth history that he had at the time, not knowing Gandhi's distaste for the melanated black-skinned people. Many, many, many great blacks in Kemet, Ethiopia, Abyssinia, and elsewhere on the planet. But as taught in America, black history started with slavery. And prior to Martin Luther King, the only thing that black history probably consisted of was slavery. Decided to give you Martin Luther King, and along giving you Martin Luther King, they decided to give you a few others along the way. A few others that they liked and admired. A few others that played music for their daughter's birthday party. A few others that played music for their wedding. A few others that sang and took pictures with their daughters and signed autographs and basketball and baseball cards and baseball bats, hockey sticks, etc. People that made a couple poems that told you that I will be okay even if I'm not okay because I'm okay. But they neglected to teach you about those true inspirations that you would have looked upon as they looked upon Benjamin Franklin, as they looked upon people such as their many founding fathers, their revolutionary founding fathers that created America, George Washington, many of his constituents and comrades who helped made such an independent nation. Of course, they would have told you certain people who fought and resisted against the tyrannies of those who oversaw their colony. If they would have told you about Nat Turner before some of our ancestors and elders made us remember Nat Turner, if they would have told us about Denmark Vesey before some of our elders and ancestors made us remember Denmark Vesey, then that would have been a different type of inspiration. And which is the same inspiration in which they seek to smother today. But they murdered Malcolm and was promoting the positive, turn the other cheek, instead of turning the other, told to do otherwise, to bear the beating of your overseers unjustly. The Quran says, oppression is worse than slaughter. See, to get slaughtered is almost like you could fight back and get slaughtered. You could fight back and get slaughtered. You know, it's like a tidal wave just came, took your eyes. You couldn't do it by yourself, you know. And they say oppression is worse than slaughter. So if it's worse than slaughter, then it's like saying slaughter got to be bad too. In the eyesight of the law, just to get slaughtered, you shouldn't allow yourself to get put in a situation to get slaughtered. Quran says, Allah says, if 10 of y'all got a look fate, y'all could take out 100. So if you get slaughtered, how many did it take? So oppression is worse than slaughter. Because oppression is like sitting back, allowing it, accepting it, because it's something you inherit, and you redistribute to your children. They inherit your suffering. You give it, you willfully take it just to give it to them. And you do nothing to change the situation. Martin was led to believe and he was making the right decision, which in a scary country at the time, to be doing anything, it was risky for him to be doing what he was doing. And that was the peaceful way. And that was more deadly than bearing a shotgun. They more passive now than they ever been in the early days of the civil rights. Malcolm got killed and murdered and assassination in a Judas Factor type manner so that they could take it and split. See, if you had these different factions, if you create a faction in the mind of the people and then create an illusion as to the possibilities that could have happened, and then create so much doubt. You can split that. You already created a violence between non-violence. And you took one opportunity to split that idea that potentially was violent, or that they considered to be violent, which had the potential to be militant. By murdering Mackle and throwing the finger, or creating an illusion like the movie Betty, to point the finger or create a scenario. While half of the rest of the world is over here and saying, see there, see there, see there. While they promoting the idea of giving Nobel Peace Prize along with giving you affirmative action, which is a token saying that we will hire a few minorities. But at the same time, we just hire white women. They don't give you no job. Then somewhere down the line, they realize they can give you a job and then charge you for breaking every damn thing in the store and never pay you. And every paycheck, you damn near owe them. You got to go back to work. But coming up until 69, see, this is why America has always portrayed the Martin Luther King image, I Have a Dream. Because the I Have a Dream promoted the idealism that the European wanted to perpetuate in the minds of black people, even though it was some hogwash shit that they would never support and would do everything in their effort to separate the ideas from. Look at when the Brown versus the Board of Education, and look at when schools initially started integrating, and look how long it took some of these schools to even integrate. And that integrating process, our people that was not integrated has a higher success rate than those who became integrated. Because most of those Europeans took their kids out of those schools, they began to misappropriate funds, stealing the resources, taking those resources and investing those resources in a secondary school or functioning that they can create and finance themselves with. They could become teachers. You know, they get all the money and endorsements and they keep embezzling or misappropriating or reappropriating to a point the funds to invest all the resources into the school that they create, the private schools and charters that they create for themselves, using the same public money. While depriving your children, and at the same time, the public schools where your children are thrust in with them, they still become the primary job holder. And they lack any interest in actually real education when it comes to your school. It's just keeping up with the curriculum. They don't put a lot of effort in making sure your children understand the math. And they hope many at home don't take the time to try to keep their children optimized in the math, all the reading, all the science. So the point is, every year we speak on Martin Luther King's birthday, we speak on I Have a Dream, which was in 63. But in 69, 68, when he was assassinated, for the ideal. You just heard the energy. Go listen to the energy. Do that for yourself, for the ancestors. Go look and listen to the I Have a Dream speech. Listen to any, not the dream, but the I've Been to the Mountaintop. Listen to all those last speeches. Dig that energy. Listen to what he's exactly saying. Still running around, skipping and hopping, talking about Christmas. He was talking about boycotting Christmas. Who dropped the ball on the check? He was talking about going to get our check. You heard what he said? He said he didn't want to hear nothing about no Emancipation Proclamation, and he don't want to hear nothing about them bills. He got a couple of bills passed. He always told me, I don't care nothing about them bills. That ain't going to give us what we need to the Vietnam War. He got to breaking down America's report card and finance. Like they digging into Trump taxes, he got to digging into America taxes. He got to dig into their paperwork and what was old and how it played out. And how it's been going. T99, the United States of America.
Then Mama, let's not forget. I know you're probably gonna get into it. Oh, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing right now. You read my mind. You talked about how they took them out. Go ahead.
Yeah. In 1999, the family of Martin Luther King, and see, like I say, they get to doing all this talking and whatnot, and they don't really...
Dang, they're psychic,
telling.
We're on the same wavelength. I was thinking the same thing. I was, before I could get my... It's funny, I was trying to get my phone off of mute to ask you to bring that up, and then you start bringing it up. It's crazy. Go ahead.
Right on. And we hoping, and I say, we hoping that the rest of our people and shepherds and sheep are out on the same wavelength. I hope we're all on the same wavelength. We ABC alike, you know. So
I say.
In 1999, the family of Martin Luther King Jr. got valid information, had valid information from various sources, and with all this, these theses and antitheses and syntheses, they took all this to court. Somebody had to answer for something. You know, if it ain't for no more than $100, we'll put $100 on it. It ain't about the money. We just need the facts out right now. So we gonna sue for $100 if we got to, just everybody. And the United States government settled out of court after over 30 witnesses came forth in regards to the America's, the country's involvement in the assassination on our dear brother. Now, mind you, this is approximately at the time 30 years later to the date, 31 years later from the date in which they murdered him. When they murdered him, the restaurant from where the shot came from, the restaurant owner was one of the witnesses. He testified that he, days before, he met with the SEAL team who was supposed to take the shot. Of the shot, he let them in and escorted them upstairs to the roof where the shot would have taken place. There was over 30 witnesses that was that knew of the crime, that know more than what you and I know of from what we may have read from memoirs or anything else throughout our histories, who may have had some type of insight directly. Over 30 who have read memos or documents. 30 witnesses that testified the United States of America government settled out of court for its involvement in assassinating Martin Luther King. This was in 1999, prior to America doing it. They promoted the image that they wanted to promote from when they felt like they was able to pull his strings, the I Have a Dream, for the agents who they can send amongst him and plant among him, can whisper or suggest certain suggestions to create such a situation, right? But nonetheless, let's think about it. They murdered him. So up until that point, the United States government and many of those within office already knew this. But what it did was it put a spotlight on certain leaders. For one, it put a spotlight on Messy Jesse, who reportedly received a phone call prior to the shooting, then insinuated that Martin Luther King even go outside and get a breath out. Even after Martin allegedly was, I'm okay, I'm good, I'm cool. Now, come on and go, you need to get some air. The same one we see on the balcony from where the shot was recently fired, and you see them pointing from where the shot came. Think about it.
And Jesse was told to not to be sure not to wear a tie. That's why he had on a turtleneck. Him and Perry Cowles had on turtlenecks. And exactly. Abernathy and Young and all them had on ties. They wanted to make sure that he didn't accidentally get shot. Because they had layers. They had layers. They had layers of assassins. Those government assassins. And the fall guy, or the Patsy. What was the Patsy name? What was the Patsy name that they blamed? Was it Oswald? Who was the Patsy, Mama?
I'm trying to. I know
it's escaping me. The man that they said did it.
The cracker guy, right? Yeah. Leon Oswald,
Because they did it. They did the same thing for both the Kennedy brothers when they assassinated the Kennedy brothers. You know, this is the time when the government was openly just assassinating people. You know, just assassinating two presidents, attorney general, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. They two leaders, two black rights leaders. Oh, they were killing them. They was on a killing spree. The Black Panthers. I mean, they was on a killing spree. Don't get them twisted that they're not, you know. But the United States government was the United States government through the FBI and the CIA. These are the assassins of their own people. Equal opportunity, black and white.
Right, and remind you who was the director of the CIA during this time. One of your favorite presidents. He was over the FBI.
Oh, George W. Bush.
Cocaine Bush. You see, the same one who was bringing in at this time, is when the cocaine, you see what I'm saying, was coming in. Do the math. The same time the Vietnam War, they switched that around and they started hooking all our people on dope. They started shooting them up over there. When most of them came back from the war, all of our black leaders had been in exile. Our elders had been in exile, incarcerated, or murdered. They was in exile, incarcerated, and then murdered. You see what I'm saying? And this is the same time when they start pushing in the pushing hole. This is when they start pushing in the dope real hole. And this is when they start somewhere along the line when they start relaxing the afro. See, this is when they started their psychological programming by distorting the roots. You see, they started distorting the roots. They made it fruity. They started breaking it down all the way down to the masculinity is nothing. But listen to Martin. That is not the man. You listen to these people talking about Martin that they sound nothing of this man. They murdered this man, and you still tap dancing with the same government that did it. You're not even publicly making it aware that the government did it, and they've been promoting this falsehood of him for years. His children was too damn young to know who he was. And those who stood on the side of his real children, I'm going to tell you a couple of things about his real children that y'all don't know nothing about. His older kids. See, them was the babies. You know, the babies, after the father was killed, they was promoted into that I have a dream.
Right.
They was promoted into the limelight of fame of not even really knowing what the hell going on in life, but being somewhat secured and sheltered and not realizing the realization that really real black people encounter on a daily of what their father was really fighting for. You see, this is a wicked, it's a difference than being wrong. See, but they took the narrative and started controlling the ideals and the culture of our people. See, we create the cultures, but they have
and they pushing it now. They got everything
to do.
Look, they pushing it now today. They parade after parade. They got people just parading around and waving and just a happy go lucky, and not really knowing or the true diabolicalness of this government. And what they really did with this brother, and not only to the brother, to the movement in and of itself that he was at the forefront of, and who was also key people that were at the movement with him. See, this is everything to do with the Black Panther Party, because the Black Panther Party, the first time that symbol was ever raised was in Lyons County, Alabama. And the Democrats were the Dixiecrats and they were lynching black people to stop them from voting. And the Democrats were the Dixiecrats who were lynching people. So it was Kwame Ture at the time, named Stokely Carmichael, Dr. King, Martin Luther King, Macarthur Ricks. They were being defended by brothers with guns. They called themselves the Deacons of Defense. It's a whole lot that is not being told. They had to be defended by the brothers with guns, called the Deacons of Defense, and they rose up the symbol. The brothers of Kwame Ture, this is all happening at the same time. They rose up the symbol of the Black Panther as a political symbol, because the racism of the Democrats and the Republicans did not represent black people then, as it does not represent us today. And that's this man, Martin Luther King, was murdered. Kwame Ture went to Africa to work with Kwame Nkrumah. And this is a story. We have to tell our own story. And my mom is breaking down to you right now while you riding around parading what's really going down. Black power.
Black power. That's right. That's absolutely right. This is what we need to understand. You know, this is what we understand, because the same thing that was said to many people that standing up there parading and posturing and talking about, this is what this is more than just what he stood for, what he done, about what he helped us all with. No. Because you steady feeding that same psychological tradition of BS. Because that ain't what he was on, and that ain't what he was talking about. But what he was talking about is what ultimately got him executed. He was talking about things, and he mentioned things even in that very last speech that he made. It wasn't even a speech he was supposed to be speaking. It was another speech. He was really getting ready to drop the bomb on him. H. Ralph Brown, these are brothers, are students who came under. These were highlight Panthers, beautiful brothers. You see what I'm saying? Eloquent speaking and shepherds with the voice that will call other people's sheep to come, because it was one of the good shepherds. Will you hear these brothers? These were the students of the honorable Martin Luther King. What you get from them is where he left off. What they attempted to stop you from getting from Martin Luther King, where Martin Luther King was offering and transitioning to prepare you for, is what you get when you listen to the brother H. Ralph Brown and the brother Stokely Carmichael, in terms as they was known at the time. Because from that time up until the time is what you get. They murdered Martin, as they did many others. And just as they murdered Martin in 68, they went on a campaign, because you had a lot going on. And like I say, soon as they were shipping that dope, because see, the people in the community just wasn't getting on dope. It started with many of the ones that they sent back that was on dope, that they hooked on dope. And they couldn't bring our brothers back from Vietnam with that type of training. You see what I'm saying? After getting treated the way that they was getting treated, and after the VME telling our people, look, man, y'all fight ain't with y'all. Capturing black, letting them go and sending them back with messages to tell the other blacks to take y'all ass home. Don't y'all know it's already going down? Shit going down over there. It's reparations everywhere, man. Revolution. What the hell y'all doing? You need to recognize. Don't you see what doing?
Right.
Don't you see what black America is going through? They trying to send us through that shit. Y'all going to help us? That's why they didn't even call it a war. They ended that shit with a conflict. And they said the real reason why America lost that conflict or that war is due to the fact that the Vietnamese was more willing to fight than America was. Why? Because you had a lot of black people was coming back, like,
America, France, all of them European colonies was in there.
Right.
America, France, all of European colonies in there got their butt kicked. It was they was on the People's Terrain. His name was James Earl Ray. That's the name. That's supposed to kill Dr. King.
James Earl. And the thing about it is, not only that, you got Martin and just start talking bad about the Vietnam War. So come on, they already killed Martin. Tackle, you know what I'm saying? And now, you know what I'm saying? You got these young Panthers from 66 to 68. That's 2 years in the making. They got the breakfast program going. They doing things because they also working on the world. You know what I'm saying? You got Vietnamese over here that was working with black people. And you got Vietnamese going to war over there telling them, what the hell are y'all doing?
And not only that, they got a temple. All their temples in Vietnam, they look on the walls, on the temples in Vietnam, is black deities on these walls. Black people are the deities in Vietnam, Cambodia, all the places. You go on the wall with your own brown people.
So they couldn't send our people back like that. So they started doping them up, and in the process, before they even let them land back on the ground, they got most of our people in exile. Our people doing every damn thing they can that's really, really, really woke and know that this country won't let them live free. They got the damn little, take an airplane to get the hell up out of here or to free themselves just to get out of here from the wickedness that was taking place. And we know the government right now holding some of our people political prisoners right now for their own injustice that we know they've done. Look at the wickedness that was done on Philadelphia. And look at the wickedness that was created on the move and how they still holding Muammar. You know what I'm saying? Look at the wickedness. And we know what they did. Look at the wickedness. We know they killed Martin Luther King. And what restitution have they paid? What offering of restitution? What have they done to fix anything? Nothing but tokens. They give you Martin Luther King birthday, and they give you Jesse Jackson calling you in 63, in 73, right after they got most of our people on the run. We got the Black Liberation Army fighting for the last struggle of black dignity, strong black manhood, and black womanhood. You know what I'm saying? And we got, you know, of what's left of trying to hold on to a black nation, which we, by all means, had the right to, but in the process of that, they were killed and locked up and exiled all our people, you know, and the ones they sent it back, they doped up with drugs. They didn't got others in the communities that they can give the drugs to pump in the community. You see what I'm saying? And the ones coming back are getting it. They getting high and introducing it to other ones that's getting high. And by 63, guess what they do to you? Guess what they do to you in 1963? In 73, they hit you with the Mac. Like, we just not talking about the brother. We just lost the brother. You know what I'm saying? A couple of weeks or so ago. But now think about it. They hit you with what? The Mac. So by the time they hit you with the Mac,
the
because they took the blackness out of your community.
Before the Mac, Mama, they went on a killing spree. They killed Malcolm. Then in 68, they killed Dr. King. Then in 69, they killed Bunchy Carter. In 69, they killed Fred Hampton. They went on a murdering spree. If anything, UCLA and John Hunter, they went on a killing spree. Of all the black leaders, and then they come out with what? The Mac.
Right. That's all a part of them hitting because they couldn't they couldn't end the war like they were. They had to kick off some shit. They couldn't just get out. They couldn't bring our black brothers and sisters back with the movement going where it was. In 2 years, like I say, the Panthers had created the breakfast program. They had created the vaccination, a real immunization. You know what I'm saying? We were dealing with real health. You know what I'm saying? We were dealing with real resources that was being provided that we could redistribute properly and give those resources or give that tithe or get that tent and get that tenfold back to our community. We were sending our kids to school with full summer. We were taking care of community. It was a community thing. You see what I'm saying? And in 68, after they killed Malcolm, they killed him in 63, 68, they got to take Martin out. You see what I'm saying? They take Martin out. You see what I'm saying? They get bunched. They even locking them up. They in exile. Many of our people in exile, or they've been locked up, or they've been murdered. Many have been murdered because in 69,
right,
they started the Panther Party, and most of the members from there and anybody else that was aware of what was going on, even within the 10 years in America, to see the murder of Malcolm and all our other people and the transitions of the hypocrisies and the murder and the onslaught of our people. You see what I'm saying? Man, look, from that point, that the only thing we ended up with up until 63 was the BLA. And the BLA was when the people took it to the highest level of realizing that we was ultimately up against some evil, wicked shit. And our people had no choice whatsoever but to try to obtain our freedom, as mentioned, by any means, which was some hostile situations at times. But it was never hostile enough compared to what we had to deal with against this wicked empire, because this was a ruling class that was supporting the undermining and destroying of the best interest of people. They wanted to prevent anything that would stop us, that would rise our moral dignity. It had nothing to do with us rising and destroying or attacking anyone. We've been suffering and went through suffering for over 300 to 400 years at the time, you know what I'm saying, and had not launched any attack other than to try to attack, to either free ourselves from such hardship that was unjust and inhumane. Other than that, we was only trying to flee away from the damages of our sight.
That's right. And Mama, you was on the subject, so you had, then they came up with, right, remember before, the year before Superfly came out first. That's when they, you know, was promoting being on, selling the dope and being on the dope, then the Mac. So you had to have the drug and the pimping. You know what I'm saying? The Superfly came out, and just like you said, in Vietnam, a lot of people went to Vietnam. The government would give the soldiers, the soldier would have morphine shots.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they came back junkies. You know what I'm saying? Because they would get shot. They see other people getting shot. They give them the heroin shot, the morphine, which is heroin. They was on a morphine shot. And then so now you got drugs into your system. And prior to the, and also what was going on with the Vietnam War, they started the draft. They were forcing people into going to war. There was no need for a war, except there was a war on the streets in America. And they were trying to deflect.
Exactly.
They were trying to deflect. And at the same time, you know, terrorizing one nation and got their butt kicked and was still trying to steal the resources from that area while deflecting, like they're doing with us right now. The black movement started rising up about police brutality. Even in China, them people was running into government buildings in China, and they dropped the plague on the people. Same scheme. They dropped the plague. Remember prior to this plague, the coronavirus being hit, they were showing on the news where the mass of the people was running into Hong Kong, was running into the government buildings, and we were having the same things going on here, uprising after uprising.
All
across France, all across the planet, the people were rising up, so they hit us with the plague of this coronavirus, which we're dealing with now. The same thing was going on in the 60s, right before we were born, and as many of us were born. We are the vestiges of that time period. We are the children of that time period. When they gave us, we were the ones that they trying to give us this Martin Luther King, Week I Had a Dream-ass bullshit. not knowing or making until we got into digging into our own self, we found out the truth about what was going on with what do you mean about with King and like Mama said, H-Rap Brown and Stokely Carmichael, the Deacons of Defense. Did you learn any of this in school? No, they taught us a bunch of bullshit. Like we started this show off with. They taught us straight bullshit.
That's right.
We the ones have to come peel the layers off. They're going to have to keep peeling, and they don't think they're not coming after us. They came after us so many ways. They came after the new Black Panther Party in so many ways.
And consistently.
Internally.
And that's just like Mama Asada. Mama Asada Shakur, that was 73. So that was almost the final assault, some of the final assaults on some of our people. And most of our people, like I said, freedom fighters and revolutionaries and civil rights real leaders at the time, by 72, 73, they was either dead, on the run, or in exile. They were dead, in jail, exile. In a country that probably was under American sanctions. This, and from this point here, by ridding, disconnecting, that's war. But see, that's like a connection from your information or a connection from your suppliers. So they disconnected us from that, and then they, like to say, they came right back and hit us with the Superfly in 72. In 73, they hit us with the Mac. So just like many people was kids, when I was a kid, we used to watch Kung Fu Theater on Saturday. And I couldn't help but go outside and get the kicking and flipping right after, you know, watching karate.
Many of our kids, Jim Kelly, Bruce Lee.
You see what I'm saying? Many of our kids right now, they listen to NBA YoungBoy or various artists that might be hot right now. And they get to walking down the street acting like them, and you see what I'm saying? Because of the influence of what's being promoted. You see what I'm saying? They're not going to promote Chuck D. They're not going to promote Rakim. You know, they're not going to promote anything that's probably going to spark a brain cell. What they're going to promote is the big business of this dope, these hoes, this money, this diamond from the De Beers. I got to get $100,000 on my wrist, $50,000 on my pinky, $100,000 in my mouth. You see, I got to have that. I got to spend all that on worthless stones.
Then they let somebody like a brother slid up on them they wasn't expecting. Who was dropping them jewels, Nipsey Hussle. Nipsey Hussle was dropping them jewels. They slid up on them and spec. They took Nipsey out.
Right. And they create the culture to where...
Talking about my generation.
If I'm not talking about my Glock, you don't even want to hear my music. You see, if I'm not talking about I want all smoke, you don't even want to hear my music. You laughing at me. To show you how we lack that, what Martin was talking about when he said that can't no emancipation do this for us. How we lack that, what he was talking about when he said we got to go within ourselves and get this. So what is he really saying? Because they not showing me today nothing that he was talking about. None of them are giving his legacy any honor. None of them standing on the truth of any principles. When you look at these hypocrisies, Democrats, the Republicans, I can respect them. I mean, I think I respect Republicans better than I do Democrats. I think I do. I don't know. I might care less equally. But I think I might like Republicans better. Because I know what to expect from them. I know what to expect from Democrats. but it's just the Democrats appear to be more of a leech. It's kind of like a bully.
Yeah, it's like the, it's like the Republicans is the redneck. The Republicans is the redneck. You know they the redneck. They ain't hiding that they the redneck. You know what I'm saying? But the Democrats is the old slinky smiling in your face and just straight raw fucking you. Just fucking on you right in your face while they smiling at you.
Yeah.
I mean, they just smile at you and just be rubbing your head while they fucking smooth over you. Just rubbing your head. Just pat you on the back and just straight fucking over you and your family, taking you for everything you got. With a smile, that's a Democrat. And with blackface, that's a Democrat.
With blackface.
With blackface, smile, just a pat on your head.
So, and the thing about it, and like we were reading, and we talked about the gatekeepers and things of that nature. See, and not just necessarily that, we talk about the hiring. See, the hiring is the ones who are doing it for profit. They're going to always have a financial motive behind even dealing with a sheep. See, they don't even want to deal with you until it becomes feasible. And if they have to put their life on the line for just one sheep, they not going to do it. Their history will show you that they ain't going to do it. The ones who was right there tiptoeing with Martin, they ain't do it and ain't did nothing since then. But tapped holes under the table and came out and waved and support different people just to get the rest of you black folks who consider these people to be your leader that they give you. They gave you Jesse Jackson your leader. And they got a lot of other these little token Negroes, caused a lot of more tears for a lot of more people. Because we're not doing the proper math. You let these people run off on you. They run off on you. And then they come back to you by other means than the door. Because they are thieves and robbers. And they care not about the sheep. Because when the wolf come, they going to run like they did before. And they have before. You could tell a wolf by his clothing. Even when he act like he
black
got a wolf cloak.
Mama, we got a caller on here.
Just in his first black power.
You can finish that thought, and I'm going to let you know we got a caller.
Right on. Yeah, but you could tell a wolf. Because they come and they go. But it's all about profit. But it's a hiring. That's what he for. He's there for the hire, for the paper. The money don't come his way. Or if you got to support money, you got to do like Jesus say, sell what you got and let's use it for the cause. Yeah, well, let me bury my father first. He'll drop the ball and run on you again. Black Power, Queen.
Yes, sir. Black Power, caller. We got a call out of 864 area code. Your mic is open. You've been on hold for a second. Black Power.
Black Power, people. Black Power, brother, take Black. South Carolina.
Black Power, brother.
You hear me?
Black
Power. Right,
okay,
right.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
So even, you know, it was an excellent speech that, you know, the national, you know, the spokesman gave, and I've been enjoying it. But right now, as we're speaking right now, the president just gave a press conference. And in his press conference, he said George Floyd's death had a greater impact on the black community than Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. Even on the day that they set aside, which ain't his birthday, and it's supposed to be a moment of peace, a lot of us snowed in, this is going to cause controversy down the line. So this is like... We're peaceful by nature, you know what I'm saying? Everybody knows it across the planet. We're peaceful by nature. We only really retaliate is when we're messed with. You know, if you leave bees alone, the bees will do their own thing, pollinate. When you start, you come around, the bees going to do what they need to do, whether it be from ants or whether it be from other bees, hornets, et cetera. That's kind of what we are. So the moral of that story is, you know, the sheep spend all their life looking out for the wolf, only to be eaten by the shepherd. So you were talking about Democrats and Republicans. It's all the same side. It's a different side of the same coin. But, yes, like Crystal said, like, you know, she was saying that, you know, they smile on your face, they pat you on your head, and send you on your way. A lot of people voted for the quote-unquote the puppet we got in the seat right now who ain't helping us out. The LGBT community has gotten more laws passed in the last couple of years than we done got passed in the last 40 years. And when you watch TV, you see a lot of times Dr. King's speeches being black and white, when reality is, when he was assassinated, they had color TV out, but they put it in black and white because they want y'all to think it was a long time ago. My mother was a little girl when he got assassinated. That wasn't that long ago. So you got to stay woke,
right,
man. I appreciate y'all freedom fighters. Black power.
Black power.
Black
right
power.
Man.
The brother saying, old Creepy Joe disrespecting MLK at the same time
what?
He just...
In a sense, it's kind of true. It's true because when you think about it, right? Like I say, they talk about it, they boast about Martin Luther King yearly and stuff like that, and they don't really deal and dab into the facts and really explore what happened and be justified and hold them justified to what really took place and how we need to deal with it. When you look at what took place with the Tea Party movement, they actually took a couple of his bills away, like affirmative action. So when you get to looking at, okay, what Martin Luther King, you can say he got, some people might say he got a law passed, but he actually got a couple of bills passed, right? But when you get to looking at the bills he got paid, let's go back and research what happened. Let's look up, when did it end? When did the affirmative action end? They could give you some dates on that. In various states where they actually ended it, where the Tea Party fought and took and challenged certain status quo of the bill due to the fact that it was only applied to certain parts of the country, meaning it was biased, it shows favoritism or discrimination because it was only applied to the South. So they had a lot of that.
And so
were
the Civil Rights Act.
Right.
People don't know
so
that the Civil Rights Bill didn't every state was not subject to the Civil Rights Bill. Every state in America was not subject to the Civil Rights Bill. It was only the Southern states. These are facts.
Exactly. And that was their argument. That was their argument, and a lot of that was overturned. So when you look at what he accomplished, you say, he did it. Well, it don't matter if they took it off the book. If they didn't fault, whether it's like they got certain laws in the South for like old slave laws, but they keep it on the book, even though like they don't even enforce that no more, like reckless eyeballing. That's a law. Well, like if you like, they call it mean mugging, or if you boot them up or whatever, whatnot, you know what I'm saying? Or you know, Like they say on Django, you looking like you got some sand, you know. That was a law where black men and women couldn't look white folks in their face like that. You couldn't, like, get them. They got a law, reckless eyeballing. They don't apply.
I'm pretty sure it's still a law. I'm pretty sure they didn't overturn it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's still on the books, but they don't enforce it.
Yeah.
They don't go through it by enforcing it, you know what I'm saying, and locking people up for it like that. But it's on there. But why would these Tea Party members go out their way to make, even if it don't matter no more, affirmative action ain't no, it don't really matter because they hire people, when they hire them, they ain't tripping, ain't nobody tripping on it anymore. But why would they go out their way to take it off the book? You see? So if he's saying that George Floyd had more of an impact, and you say, well, okay, well, did they pass a law for George Floyd? Or did they pass a bill
no.
for George Floyd? You see?
No.
And you say, exactly. You say, well, what did George Floyd do, or did they get in honor of him or them? And see, then it becomes about
a damn thing.
You see what I'm saying?
Where is that? George Floyd got him in office.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
George Floyd got what's that nigga name? What's this man name? What's this cracker name, man? Joe Biden. George Floyd got Joe Biden in office. That's all he did.
Yeah. Because
these people have not done one law for George Floyd. Biden came there lying on the George Floyd desk, saying what he was going to do this and going to do that and haven't done nothing.
They always do. You know, they wanted to give Q hell due to the fact that he said he wanted to talk to Trump or Biden. See, Biden said, talk to me after the election. You know? Trump had the audacity to be like, well, you know what, I talk to you, you know? He's a Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially got money.
Man, Donald Trump, if you a black man gonna get him some money, he been putting money behind you like Mike Tyson. You know what I'm saying? Mike Tyson, Kanye West, ASAP Rocky. This man is an entertainer, he's a character. Biden, this wicked man, this man is responsible for all the three strikes laws, all those different wicked laws that with the Clinton administration, you know, but like I said, they all wicked. The Republicans, the Democrats. One of them smile in your face, the other one just stab you in the back while patting you on the head.
We elect Biden, but we'll condemn Q.
Right.
You see? But the truth is, the thing is, many of our people are suffering at the likes of howling, running off at the sight of a wolf. And leaving our people to suffer. And the same highly, if they're not highly, running off, leaving our people at the exposure of the wolf to be scattered and broken in asunder. As much as we keep trying to rebuild the nation, we keep having the nation scattered because you got high running off at the first sight of a wolf, and you got those who enter by other means, which cause distortion at the same time in the sheepfold. You know what I'm saying? Which steals sheep and cause problems.
So, and the tokenism. The tokenism. Some people have nerve enough to brag.
So the token is the birthday for Martin Luther King. I give you that, but I won't give you nothing. I gave you that when I was trying to pump you up even after you did, before you even knew I killed him. I gave you that when I gave you the idea that I might give you Jesse Jackson for a president. When you know damn well I was going to get you Reagan. You can look back now in hindsight and say, ain't nowhere in the hell Jesse Jackson was going to ever win against Reagan in no election. Man, I mean, in hindsight, we could look at that. Back then, we were only bamboozled under the illusion or the false imitation of a high.
Well, right. And to be honest, you know, out of all the black people in the world, that's the last motherfucker we needed to be trying to represent us. Because Jesse Jackson is oh man, these Negroes, Jesse Sharpton, let's just keep it real. They will pacify the people. For the people, for the man. They will pacify black people for European power structure.
And those who enter the sheepfold by any other means through the door. They are.
And also.
By the master. They put there by the master.
That's right. And also, as we get ready to conclude for tonight, I mean, just to get down to it, you know, we have people who have principle, who can move the masses, who can organize, who can inspire the people. And clearly, Dr. Martin Luther King was one of those people. And anyone can really study what happened, just study his true history and what really happened with him. Why was he locked up in why did they lock him up in Birmingham? You know, why was he assassinated? take the time to read that letter from the Birmingham jail. I remember, you know, I'm spoken about this every time we have a Martin Luther King discussion, but, you know, coming up, you know, being a black radical in the movement, you know, initially, before I really went back and listened to some of the speeches of Dr. King, there was one speech in particular, the drum major speech. There's another speech, If I Had a Sneeze, where he talks about the lady that stabbed him. He got stabbed by a black woman, stabbed him by the heart. And he says if he would have sneezed, he wouldn't have been able to tell it. But she was so bought into what the establishment, what white folks were saying. You know, Dr. King was villainized at his time. He was villainized. Right. He was ostracized when he was in the Birmingham jail. He was ostracized by the Black Baptist Association, who the president of was Jesse Jackson's uncle. See, we have black people who have been open enemies to our people. Jesse Jackson been against Dr. King for a long time. There's a speech where you see Jesse Jackson, Dr. King going to go speech. Jesse put his hand out. That's the last speech he did, as a matter of fact. Jesse put his hand out. Dr. King ignored him. It was a lot of politics going on. Just think at the time, Dr. King was sitting down with Malcolm.
That reminds me of one of the times with Dr. Khaled. See, you got to watch those times, those subtleties, you know. Subtleties, you know. But they'll let you know.
That's just like us in this. It's right. Exactly. It's like right now in our time. You got Negroes that post threats at us and then try to run up in your face. Say, man, I'm not shaking your hand. You sitting there making threats. You copping deals. You sitting there getting on the TV praising the crackers. Doing all kind of crazy-ass shit these Negroes doing. And we won't, because we ain't going for it. Now, this is the kind of energy. This is the kind of people that we dealing with. Same kind of Negro. We had to deal with Jesse Jackson and Gina. This Negro sitting there and Al Sharpton trying to lead the people out of Gina to go to the NAACP convention when we holding the line, working with the police. They've been doing this to us. Then they got these other Negroes pop up, put on all black, pull out a gun, and they trying to put the police in a range with them. We're talking about principles. Yes, yes, it's only a few of us holding this line, and we're going to hold the line. We come from a great people. Too many of our ancestors show the way we study. We studied Dr. King, you know what I'm saying, all of the things that they said about him. But when you hear that "Why Oppose the War in Vietnam" speech, when you hear that drum major speech, when you hear that "If I Would Have Sneezed" speech, when you hear that the one we just played, the Poor People's Campaign, the last speech, the man's position was very solid against the corruption that was taking place. It was a long time from that mountaintop-ass speech that they want to promote. A long time, yeah. a far-fetched away discussion from that.
Yeah.
So we got to pay attention, you know what I'm saying? You know, and look at this time period which we laid out. It murdered Malcolm. Then they murdered their own president, Kennedy. Then they murdered their own attorney general, Robert Kennedy. Then they murdered Dr. King. Then they murdered Bunchy Carter. Then they murdered Fred Hampton. All of this was in the same time period. And like the brother, national spokesman said, then they start promoting, you know, Superfly, the pimps. And this is what we got today. We cannot control our narrative, our imagery, our culture, so long as we let other people tell our story. We have the power to do that. Just like what the rap music did when it first came out. It was underground. We have the power to control the streets. We have the power to control the frequency. Right now, our watch. To tell the truth. It doesn't take a masses to do for the masses. It takes a few of us to affect the paradigm. And let's do it. Push this lecture that Mama laid out. Someone push it, share it. It comes available on demand as soon as this show ends. Continue to support this broadcast. We on 7 days a week. It costs money to do this. Support the New Black Panther Party. Go to www.mbpp.org. Join the ranks. Know and understand there's a bunch of bootlegs that popped up around, but they ain't going to do nothing but sit over there and do some friendly-ass shit, because that's the reason they got bootlegged in the first place, because the times when they was around, they was half-baked any goddamn way.
They were hirelings.
They were chitlins. Some of them was chitlins.
Yep.
Hirelings and chitlins. Some of them was some fucking chitlins.
Yeah.
They ain't nothing but some pig lines. Pig guts. Oh, man. Great show, Brother Mama. Great show. Go ahead and wrap us on the... Uh-oh. I should have known. We got one more. We got to let the brother... No, he had his hand up early. He took it down. You got 3 minutes, Brother Mama. Brother Yaya, what you got to say?
Let the peace of the Creator be with all of you, New Black Panther Party, Black Power. This is Brother Yahya. And I
Black
have
power.
To admit, I was wondering, Creator willing, this part is not going to be saved on the air. Does it only save 2 hours, Honorable Christian Muhammad? Or am I being heard throughout the world right now?
Oh, well, now they can hear you. They can. You can be heard. You're being heard.
Okay. I'm grateful. So then, Black Power, then I guess I know what to say. Inshallah, I am here looking in my heart and requesting guidance on how to request a meeting with Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. With your presence, Honorable Christian Muhammad, at the meeting, I wanted to announce that, alhamdulillah, all praises to the Creator. And I now know the things that the thoughts and information and knowledge that I was trying to put together on the air on New Black Panther Radio last year and the year before. It is in front of us, this, that our healers and our world leaders are stepping up into their positions of power. And there are women speaking up that are creating ripples across the earth and even inside of the buildings of bank accounts that are not supposed to exist. So therefore, I'm humbly requesting guidance that all praises to the Creator, 30 years of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears has come together. And it needs the protection and guidance of the Black Nation. And that cannot be in the presence of one human. It must be the African community of planet Earth at the table and on top of all the other dimensions. And alhamdulillah, I just wanted to share that the intensity of what good news sometimes can feel like a really serious responsibility. And things that have gotten right now, Honorable Christian Muhammad, where there is no longer, and there could be no longer, that same indifference that has been visiting the Ahmadi community. May the Creator protect us all. Inshallah. I am sharing that by having this meeting with Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, if I am granted the opportunity to be allowed a nobody, a grain of sand, to come and present the same tension in the algorithm that Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with the world this last weekend, is that if we cannot replace one Satan with another, may the Creator protect us, then we cannot replace another imam with another, that there must be a complete and total transformation. And what I am now sharing is that I now know what I was trying to put together. And this is the moment where this cannot just lie in the hands of our so-called domestic presence in the United States. It must look at the world and at Africa and at the diaspora and the Aboriginal first voices and remove the caste system. They will no longer be the children, the sons of bricklayers. They will no longer be the children of servants. We will all be humans, inshallah. And I just wanted to ask you, Honorable Crystal Muhammad, if you could give me guidance and where to begin. If one in our heart as a nobody, unknown, somebody of no significance at all whatsoever, needed to meet with Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, where would I begin?
Let's talk about that offline, Brother Yahya. We'll catch back up with you on that one. Black Power.
100 lives, Black Power.
Black Power.
May the peace of the Creator be with you.
Same to you. All right, my mom, go ahead and take us on now, Brother Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, and Black Power, Brother Yahya. Yeah, that's inspiring. An inspiring journey you're seeing, we sent you, brother. But Black Power on that journey and success, it's your that you may seek yourself for answers and conclusions to create a thesis to rid all your antitheses, so that you may come up with a synthesis that you may be able to present as a presentation. Black Power. So what we got to do is we got to, like the Uncle Dr. Martin said, get the language right. We got to speak the language and understand the language. He said that everything that you have been told, say somebody told a lie, and that lie was to alienate you away from Black Power. That lie was to make you feel a negative impulse when you hear Black Power. Of course, he said in his own words, that's exactly what it's going to take. Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King said that it's going to take extreme, talking like a radical political change and a radical economical change. Is what he said. And he said, you got to remind you again, he said, the Emancipation Proclamation that was passed, the so-called free, the so-called slave, he said, that can't do what he's talking about for us. He said, it has to be the Emancipation Declaration that was conceived from amongst and from within our own heart. As a people, as an identified self-allegiance, alliance of a people. So in other words, we have to come to terms with what we must first do for ourselves. This is basically what he was talking about. It's the same thing like Yahshua Jesus was talking about. He come not for the whole world, but for the lost tribe. Martin got to the point to where he was breaking it down about what we need to do for ourselves and our people. He said, a lie was told. told that Jesus was white, but he was black. They told you black was bad, but it's good. It's complete. It's abundance. You were taught otherwise. You were taught to hate that, to despise that. You were taught to glorify the opposite. See, that lie was interchangeable. Just as you, he said, you were taught to think of everything white and good and pure. He said, somebody told you a lie. He said, a lie was told. And he also asked the question. He said, now that we know, because he went and did the math. Don't tell me what you couldn't do, because the land was already, but that same land that was for us, we see where you went and redistributed the land. And not only that, you had the resources to pay these no-brain white folks who ain't never missed a finger a day in their life to educate them on how they could till the land and manipulate black people to work the land for them. That was a part of their schooling back then. That was sharecropping and et cetera. And most of that consisted on taking black land from black people, giving it to white people who had, they said, the right education on how to deal with the books and the resources and the tracking and the finances of the land. Who Martin just told us was paid to learn how to do it. And on such then, it's other opportunities that could be offered to the so-called Negro. It's just at this point, will they? Well, have they? Well, hell no. What they did was they murdered the man. And they fastened the idea of who they wanted and how they wanted us to see him for the last 30 years, 40 years, or 50 years up until the day, because it still had the narrative that they perpetuated still hadn't changed. It still hadn't changed. They just murdered the only one that was complaining about it. That not only had a national voice, but was also becoming an international voice, speaking in general against the war in Vietnam. So, we look at how COINTELPRO still collides with black excellence and black leaders of sincerity from all ages and different times than the roots of this government. The same government that launched attacks against Marcus Garvey and other leaders before. Did none escape. It was attacks against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It was attacks on Deuce Ali, Noble Drew Ali, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, Malcolm, Fred Hampton, George. The list goes on and on and on. Many political prisoners we still have today. Many exiled elders we have today, who should be exonerated at least for some of the turmoil that they went through. In 71, 72, 73, Mama Sada Shakur, the Honorable Mama Sada Shakur, who was one of the voices of the people, litigator for the people, and voice of the people, who was a beautiful and is a beautiful spirit for the people, the mother of the people. You know what I'm saying? And who was tormented, tortured, beat, shot, and all but killed during the same time when they was murdering all the rest of our brothers and sisters and running them in exile and incarcerating them. And then they start coming with the pimping, Superfly, and all the rest of the drugs in our community after they got rid of the drug pushers. Because, you know, the black movement at the time wasn't tolerating that. That wasn't something cool. Till in the 80s, I remember growing up in Los Angeles, you know, even Easy had a song talking about, hey, Mr. Dope Man, you think you're slick. That wasn't cool. People didn't even like the Dope Man back then. In the early 80s. People, family members, it wasn't cool to have them. Did nobody want their family member, uncle? Nobody on drugs. No hard chemical that was frying their brains and causing them to lose all sense of humanity and dignity. Yeah, the gang bangers, the tribal members in the streets at one point used to clash with some gang members, used to clash with some drug dealers in some community. And that was all over the country. But that was a propaganda tool, a promotional tool used by the devil of America to destroy our community after they already destroyed our inspiration and our guidance. The youth would grow up under that. The elders would have been murdered, ran in exile, and killed. The same process as would have been when they kidnapped children from slavery or separated children during plantation eras and put them on separate plantations and separated them away from their elders so that they wouldn't learn how to communicate their language. It's the same disconnection of communication. Locking them up, running them off and murdering them, and then throwing out a different image in which you wanted to perpetuate in the ideas of the people. You gave them prostitution, drugs, and pimping, and you made it cool. You made it cool. You took something like gang banging, for example, that might have been done in one city and popularized it and made it cool or appear cool subliminally so that other people will want to do it in other places and create like hells for themselves and plague themselves with the same institutions of tokenism that you give when you're murdering our people and you're just giving us images and ideas to support. Fall into the next hands of the next bloodsucker. We fall into the hands of the next snake, the next one that the thief and robber that don't come in through proper portals. But the ones who are hiding, who won't be there for you, who won't lead you into the battle, and if anything befalls in the battle for this struggle of justice and liberation and independence, be there to support you 100%. Never leaving a fallen comrade behind. Someone get incarcerated, being there to support them and fight for them all the way. The hireling will run. They won't be there. They're not the shepherd. They're not going to be there to support their comrades, see their freedom. They're not going to be there to support their comrades by any means necessary to assure their freedom. But that's too much of a burden for the hireling. The hireling will not stand if it has nothing to do with direct benefit for them. It has to be a promotion for them. For the robber who enters by any other way of the portal and the hound. They care not for the sheep. You know it when you hear their voice. Don't get stolen. by the robbers because they sound familiar. They sound like a familiar. When you heard Martin, it was a certain spirit that he guaranteed that you can hear it. It's when you hear the Honorable Dr. Khaled, it's a certain spirit he's guaranteed. And you can hear it. For those who seeking the truth, when you hear it, you should know it. You don't get caught up, because there's a lot to get caught up in. They murdered Martin, and look at what they caught us up in. They gave us his birthday in the 80s, right when they were finna get thanked, considering to make us all patriotic, because black folks weren't Democrats until they started giving you cheese and potted meat and beans. When they start giving you commodities, that's how they trick you, just like Julius Caesar, Constantine did with the cross, with this symbol I wrote. Like Willie Lynch, I have slaves for 500 years. I give them cheese, I have voting Democrats for the next 5,500 years. And these are slave masters, the Dixiecrats, the Democrats. Martin wasn't running around talking about no Democrats. Martin said black power, by definition, he said you need extreme, I'm going to say it for you, black political power, radical black political power. You need radical black economics. Because somebody has told you a lie. So an echo, I utter the black power sentiment, as Martin could have echoed it, black power, black power, black power, radical black power. Because this is not, no less than he was offering